And we're going to start with the Mishnah. The Mishnah deals with a case where Yontif falls out on a Friday. And he's got now 2 days of Kedusha Sayom. And he wants to set up an Erev Tchumen that'll be operative for both Yontif. That's on Thursday afternoon, set up an Erev for Yontif, which is Yontif is Friday. And as well, a second Erev for Shabbos that would be set up on Friday afternoon before the onset of Shabbos. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Yontov HaSomach LeShabbos, in this case where we have Yontif on a Friday and Shabbos the day after, and he says, Bein Milfaneho, Bein Le'achreho, you could have 2 days of Kiddush Sayom that are consecutive, either because Yontif's on a Friday or because Yontif is on a Sunday. And now the question becomes, does he have to make a separate Eruv for each one of these 2 days, or can we say that the 48 hours of Kiddush Sayom collapse into one entity and one Eruv would suffice for both days? Rabbi Eliezer says, Ma'arev Adam Shnei Eruvin. He has to set up 2 different Eruvin, meaning one for Yontif and a separate one for Shabbos. And let's say, for example, he wants to go Chutz L'Tchum on the first day, which would be, let's say, Yontif. We'll talk about a case where Yontif is on a Friday. He wants to go towards the east. On the second day, which is Shabbos, he wants to walk towards the west. So he sets up 2 Erevin, both on a Thursday, Erev Yontif, and the Omer, and he declares, Eruve, this Eruv that I'm now placing on the east, Berishon, La Mizrach, should allow me on the first of these 2 days, assuming it's Yontif in our case, to walk 2,000 Amos to the east of this Eruv, which would be all told 4,000 Amos from his home in the city, Ubisheni. And with the second Eruv, I'm going to place it on the west side, meaning outside of my city limits on the west, Lemairov, so that on Shabbos I could walk the extra 2,000 Amos beyond the Erev Tchumen to my west. Or alternatively, Barisha Lemairov, Ubisheni Lemizrach. He may want to go on the first of the 2 days towards his west, and on the second of the 2 days towards his east. And the bottom line is that these 2 days, or shall we say these 2 units of 24 hours, are separate independent units, each one requiring its own Eruv. Now what happens in a case, Rabbi Eliezer continues, where he's interested in setting up his Eruv outside the city on Yom Rishon, but on the second day, meaning on Shabbos, he's not interested in setting up an Eruv. He wants to be like the rest of the people in his city, which will give him a radius outside the city limits of 2,000 Am in each direction. So he makes the following statement. Eruvi Barishon, my Eruv for the first day should be valid, and that would give me 2,000 Am towards that direction. Ubisheni kibnei iri, but on the second day, that Eruv, which I set up for the first day, will be totally invalid, so to speak, or shall we say it's not relevant at all, and therefore he has the same status as the members of his city. Alternatively, what happens if he's interested on the first day, the Yontif day, to be like the members of his city? On the second day, on Shabbos, he wants to have an Eruv, so he can just set up Eruve Besheni. In other words, he's going to set up an Eruv on, let's call it Friday, right before the onset of Shabbos. Uberishon Kibnei Iri. And for the first day, meaning for Yontif on Friday, he has no Eruv. the underlying principle here of Rabbi Eliezer, with all these applications and permutations, is called Shtei Kiddushos, which means that Shabbos and Yom Tov are two separate independent entities. And therefore, it's not like a case where you have one long day of Shabbos and you want to set up an Erev for half of the Shabbos going towards the east, and for the other half of Shabbos set up another Erev towards the west. You can't split one day that has a Kedushas Hayom into two. We only allow you one Erev per day. But here, Yom Tov and Shabbos, although they happen to flow consecutively one into the other, nevertheless, they are two Kedushos. Each Shvisa, that is Kona, is independent of the other one. So therefore, the Erev of the first day is not valid for the second day. And therefore, he could be Koveya a Shvisa for his second day in a different place than the first day, because he's got two Erevin. He's not bound on the second day by the Erev that he set up on the first day, because the Erev that he set on the first of these 2 days is only relevant to that day. And you and I may say, well, that seems intuitively correct. Why would I think otherwise? And the answer is because the Chacham actually disagree. And the Mishnah records the Shita of the Chachamim. Chacham Omrim, O Ma'orev L'Ruach Achas, O Eina Ma'orev Kol Ikar. He's got two choices. His Eruv for the first day is binding for the second day. It's valid for the second day. Why? Because of the concept called Kedusha Achas. The Chachamim maintain that we view these 48 hours as one indivisible entity, as if it was one day of Kedusha Sayyom. And the Eruv now that he sets up on Friday will be relevant for Shabbos as well, for the second day. He cannot set up an Erev for the east for the first day and another second Erev for the west on the second day. That he can't do because he's splitting one day into two parts. You cannot have one day that has an Erev for the first half of the day and another Erev going in a different direction for the other day. So that if he wants to split up his Erev into two directions, Eina Ma'arev Kol Ikar, he shouldn't make an Erev at all. O Ma'arev L'Shnei Yomim, O Eina Ma'arev Kol Ikar. He has two choices. Either he sets up his Erev for both days, or he shouldn't set up an Erev at all. And the Gemara is going to explain that the reason why the Chachamim are very elaborate here in the Mishnah, and they sort of double up their language, the Gemara is going to explain that the reasoning of the Chachamim, but now we're letting the cat out of the bag, actually, a preview of what's coming around the bend, and that is that on the one hand, the Chachamim say that the 2 days are one Kedusha, but on the other hand, they're not sure about that. And there's a suffix, maybe the 2 days should be considered as two separate Kedushos, or alternatively as one long Kedusha, and therefore they're going to be Machmir in all directions. We're not going to allow you to separate the Erev into two parts because we're going to be machmir like Kedusha Achas. So if you were to set up an Erev for one day and an Erev for the other day, it would be like splitting the day. And the Chachamim hold that just like you cannot be Ma'arev each day as a separate entity because it's Kedusha Achas, so too you cannot be Ma'arev just one day, and then allow yourself on the other day not to be bound by any Erev whatsoever. You should be like the Bnei Ha'ir, because we also have to worry about the possibility of Kedusha Achas, as we said before. And if it's Kedusha Achas, then the Erev that he sets up on Thursday afternoon for Friday is also binding for Shabbos as well. And Chacham continue, and they say the following, Ketzad Yase, what should he do in order to set up his Erev on Yontif when it's on Friday? Molicho Barishon, Molicho means he should send the Shliach towards, in this case, let's call it the West. And the Shliach will bring the Erev and set it up on the West. And then, Umachshich Olav, he should wait until after dark. And once he waits till after dark, he knows that the Eruv is fixed in stone, meaning it's definitely valid and binding, so he has an Eruv that is valid. But Vinotlo, after it gets dark, he should pick up the Eruv and take it with him back into the city, into his home, because keep in mind, on Yontif, you're allowed to carry, so there's no problem in carrying his Eruv. He should not leave the Eruv there where it is, because it might get lost, it might get destroyed. After all, it's exposed to the elements. And then he won't be able to use that Eruv to be Kona Shvis on Shabbos. So therefore, Bolo B'Sheni U'Machshecholav. He should come back on Friday afternoon with the same Eruv, set it up as an Eruv for the second day, which is the day of Shabbos. And now, Machshech Olav, he should wait until after dark. Now, once it's dark, again, the Eruv is already binding and set in stone. It's Chal for Shabbos, but the Eruv might get lost. It might get destroyed. He waits till after Chashecha. Does he have to say goodbye to his Eruv? I mean, the Eruv itself costs 50 shekel. He doesn't have the option of bringing the Eruv back into his home on Shabbos, because that would be carrying in Rishus HaRabim that he can't do. But rather, Ochlo Ubala. He makes Kiddush, and he eats the Eruv there on Friday night, and then he comes home. Aye, the Eruv has been consumed. It doesn't matter. Once the Eruv was there, over Ben Hashmoshes until Chashecha, it's already Chal for the second day. Nimtza mistaker ba'alichoso mistaker be'eruvo. So he gains both. He gets the advantages of both ends of the stick. On the one end, he has now an Eruv that was Kona Shvisa also for Shabbos, and he can go Chutz L'Tchum on Shabbos. At the same time, he gets to eat the Eruv, and it didn't get destroyed. Why didn't it get destroyed? Because he took it back on Thursday night of Yontif, which he was allowed to do. He guaranteed that it wouldn't be destroyed. And now he uses the same Eruv on Friday afternoon for Shabbos, and then he eats it after nightfall. But notice that the Chachamim are not going to rely on the first Eruv that he set up on Thursday for Erev Shabbos, meaning for Yontif. The Chachamim require that he go back and set up the Eruv for Shabbos on Friday afternoon, which is Yontif afternoon. The reason for that is because although the Chachamim never accepted Rabbi Eliezer's absolute certain principle of Shtei Kiddushos, but nevertheless they are Choshesh, they are worried, they have a suffix, maybe it is Shtei Kiddushos. So they're going to require a second Eruv. So we have now a double Chumrah, because on the one hand, he's going to be bound on Shabbos by the Eruv that he set up on Friday for Yontif, and that's called Kedusha Achas. On the other hand, he's going to require a second Eruv for Shabbos, not relying on the first Eruv of Yontif, because of Shtei Kedushos. So we're really grabbing it from both ends, L'chumra. The Mishnah adds one other din. Nechal Barishon. If, let's say, after he set up on Thursday afternoon his Eruv Tchumin, after it got dark, he ate it. Eruvo l'rishon. That Eruv is valid for the first day. V'ein Eruvo l'sheni. Like we said before, we have to be choshesh, perhaps, shtei kiddushos, and Shabbos needs its own Eruv. He no longer has an Eruv, because the Eruv that he set up on Thursday for the first day, meaning Yontif, is already gone. Amalehem Rabbi Eliezer. So the Rabbi Eliezer turns to the Chachom, he says, Modem atem li, Shehein Shtei Kiddushos. This is very odd. You're not being consistent. Rabbi Eliezer doesn't know that the Chachamim are playing it on both ends, L'chumra. So naively, Rabbi Eliezer turns to the Chachamim and he says, wait a minute, you're requiring a second Erev for Shabbos. And if the Erev on the first day for Yontif was eaten, then you have no heter of chutz l'tchum, no Eruv to rely on for the second day. That means two kedushas. One Eruv can't suffice for both days. No, once you're going to that extent of Shtei Kiddushos, then why do you disagree with me when I say that he can set up one Erev going towards the east for the first day, and set up a second Erev going towards the west for the second day? You yourself agree of Shtei Kiddushos. Now, before the Chachamim explain their Shita in the Gemara, the Gemara is first interested in justifying the language of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, L'ruach achas. Let's just go over the language of the Mishnah. Chachamim omrim ma'arev l'ruach achas. And l'chora, what that means, ma'arev l'ruach achas, means l'shnei ayamim, that he sets up an Erev going towards, let's say, the east for both days, because as we said before, the Chacham are not going to allow him a second Erev towards the west for Shabbos. And then, immediately afterwards, it says in the Mishnah, L'shnei Yomim. It says, Ma'arev L'shnei Yomim. Now, if you've already told me L'ruach Achas means that your first Erev could only permit going out in one direction, it can't help you for the other direction for the second day, so why then did the Mishnah have to repeat itself and say Ma'arev L'shnei Yomim? That means he needs a separate Erev for both days. He's already indicated that in his opening line, L'ruach Achas. Is L'shnei Yomim my Ninu? Obviously, he needs an Erev for 2 days. Once you've already told me L'ruach Achas, that the Erev of Thursday for the first day of Yontav is L'ruach Achas, meaning for both days it has to be in that same Ruach, then Hainu Kamaisa. Then again, you know, you're repeating it yourself by saying that you needed Erev for 2 different days. I'm sorry, that you need the Erev for 2 days, what I meant to say. So Gemara answers, Hachi Kamalei Rabbanan L'Rabbi Eliezer. This is what the Rabbanan were answering to Rabbi Eliezer. Iyata mode she'ein ma'arvim liyom echad, chetzi l'tzof v'chetzi l'doro. One thing we all agree upon, and you, Rabbi Eliezer, are not going to deny this, that you cannot take one day and set up an Erev for half the day towards the north and the other half the day towards the south. Isn't that so? Amar lehen aval. Yes, that's absolutely so. Emes. So then the Chacham said to him, well, now we have you caught now a trap. Kishem she'ein ma'arvin liyomechad chetzi l'dorm chetzi l'tzofon, kach ein ma'arvin l'shnei yomim, yomechad l'mizroch v'yomechad l'marav. Just like you can't split one day into half and set up an Erev for the first half in one direction, and an Erev for the second half of the day from noon until dusk on the other direction for the second day, so too, if you have 2 days consecutively, one day Yontif and one day Shabbos, you cannot split the Eruv and have it operate for one day in one direction, for the other day in another direction. In other words, certainly we should agree that the 2 days of Yontif form one Kedusha. And if it's one Kedusha, how can you split the day into two? So Rabbi Eliezer says, Hossam, there in the case where you have 1 day of Kodesh, let's say Shabbos, and you want to have an Erev for the half of Shabbos in this direction, half of the other Kedusha Achas, you're splitting up 1 day that has Kedusha, but Hacha, in the case of Shabbos V'yontif, which are consecutive, it's Shtei Kedushos. There are 2 separate Kedushos, and he can set up 2 separate Erevin, one to the Mizrach for the first day, and one to the Myra for the second day. Amalehen Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer turns to the Chacham and says, "Iyatem modin she'im erev biraglav biyom rishon ma'arev biraglav biyom sheni." Don't you agree with me that if he sets up an erev on the first day, he needs an erev for the second day? On the first day, he did an erev with raglav. Rashi says he didn't have a pas, so in the absence of pas, he can go out to that place where he wants to become a shvisa biraglav. And for all intents and purposes, it's as if he had set up a pass. That's another alternative way of orchestrating an Erev Tchumim. But he needs one both for Friday and a second one for Sunday. Or alternatively, let's take a case where he was Ma'ariv Papas, but Nechal Eruva B'Yom Rishon, sometime during the first day the Eruv was consumed, is Eina Yotze Ola B'Yom Sheni. He can't go Chutz L'Tchum on the second day because his Eruv for the first day is gone. So obviously, these are two separate Kedushas. Amru Lo Aval, you're right. And I don't deny it. But they said to Rabbi Eliezer, Hal Lai. Lai means Vade. One thing is sure. And that is that we have to worry about Shtei Kedushos hen. You're right. I'm not denying what your premise is, Rabbi Eliezer, namely that if there was an Erev on the first day, I need another Erev for the second day, meaning Shtei Kedushos. Well, for example, if the Erev of the first day was consumed, I need another Erev to replace it for the second day. That's called Shtei Kedushos. But Rabbanan Sfuki Mesafkale V'Hachaluchumra V'Hachaluchumra. The Rabbanan are in doubt. Is it Shtei Kedushos or is it Kedusha Achas? Therefore, we have to go L'Chumra in both directions. On the one hand, the Erev of the first day is not going to be valid for the second day. Shtei Kedusha saying each day is its own independent Kedusha, its own sanctity and its own entity. It needs its own Erev. On the other hand, we're going to be Machmir, and we're going to say that the Erev is Chal for both days, based on Kedusha Achas, and therefore he's going to be limited by that first day Erev. And if that first day Erev was to the east, he cannot walk to the west on Shabbos. Why? Because we're worried about Kiddush Achas. So again, just to summarize, the Chachamim Sefuke Mesafkele, they don't know whether or not it's two Kiddushos or one Kiddusha. We thought intuitively it should be two different Kiddushos, and Rabbi Eliezer is right. I mean, what Shaychus is there between Yontif and Shabbos? It happens to be that, coincidentally, they lead one day into the other because Yontif fell out on a Friday or on a Sunday. But no. The Gemara claims that the Rabbanan have a strong svara, although they're not absolutely certain about it, to assume that it is one Kedusha. That when the Torah sets up 48 hours of straight Kedusha Sayom, there's a certain flow, a continuity, and an integration of both those 2 days together. So now, the Chachom on the one hand are going to say that the Erev of the first day is not reliable for the second day, and therefore you're going to have to set up a separate Erev for the second day. And at the same time, the Rabbanan are going to say you are bound by the Erev of the first day for the second day because of Kiddush Achas L'Chumra. Amru lo Rabbi Eliezer, the Chachom turned to Rabbi Eliezer, they say, I'ato mode she'ein ma'arv b'tchila mi yontif l'shabbos. Don't you agree that in a case where, let's say, Yontif is on a Friday, that was the case we were discussing, and he hasn't yet set up his Erev for Shabbos, again, Rabbi Eliezer holds Shtei Kiddushos, so he needs an Erev for Shabbos, shouldn't you agree with me that in this case, he's not allowed to set up an Erev on Yontif for Shabbos? And for the same token, if, let's say, Yontif was on a Sunday, he would not be allowed to set up an Erev on Shabbos for Yontif. Amaleh and Aval. You're absolutely correct. So the Chachamim turn back to Rabbi Eliezer and they say, Halai. Lai, as we said before, means Vadai, Kedusha Achasi. You see that you're worried about Kedusha Achas. You're the one who says and maintains Shtei Kedushos. Why is it that you can't set up an Erev on Yontif for Shabbos? And the answer is, Kishem Shem Ma'arvim B'chatzi Hayom Im Lo Erev B'Bein HaShmoshos. Because when you get to Shabbos, you're in the middle of the day. Right? It's Friday afternoon. You're in the middle of the Kedush Sayom. And that's why you can't set up an Erev on Yontif for Shabbos, because you're in the middle of a you're in the middle of a 48-hour period of Kedusha Sayo. So therefore, you yourself, by admitting that on Shabbos, you can't say, on Erev Shabbos, I should say, you cannot set up an Erev when that day is Yontiv, and the reason for that is because you're in the middle of one long Kedusha. So how can you tell me Shtei Kedushos? So Rabbi Eliezer answers, Hasa Mishum Chachano, you misunderstood me. I never meant to say that you can't set up an Erev on Friday of Yontiv for Shabbos because you're in the middle of a day of Kedusha. It's like setting up an Erev in the middle of Shabbos, which you can't do. It's an all or nothing process. But rather, the reason why we are enjoined from setting up an Erev on Erev Shabbos when that day is Yontiv is because Hachana, and we'll have a whole sugya mitzvah Hashem about Hachana, that you don't prepare on Yontiv for Shabbos or for Shabbos for Yontiv. Tana Rabbana, we learned in the Braisa, Erev Beraglov, Biyom Rishon. So let's say, for example, it was Thursday afternoon, Erev Yontif, and he walked out to the Tchum, and he set up his Erev. Now, he wants to go Chutz L'Tchum on the second day. Let's say on Shabbos. Is Ma'arev Baraglov B'yom Sheni. He needs a separate Halicha L'Raglov to set up an Erev for the second day, for Shabbos. And again, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the reason for that is because Shtei Kedushos. According to Chachamim, the reason for that is because we're choshesh, we have a suffix of shtei kedushas. Another scenario: nechal eruv b'yom rishon, ein yotzei lo b'yom sheni. If his eruv on the first day is gone, then he doesn't have an eruv for the second day. Again, we're holding now shtei kedushas. Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe holds shtei kedushas. Now, again, if we had a whiteboard, because what we're about to embark upon is to calculate who holds what in all the Tanoim, we would write Shtei Kedushos on the top of the board and write Rebbe underneath. So Rebbe maintains Shtei Kedushos, and the Erev of the first day is not going to be valid for the second day. Rebbe Yehuda Omer, and now we turn to Daf Lamed Ches Amid Beis, Hareze Chamar Gamal. Chamar Gamal, what they used to do is, if they had to lead both a donkey and a camel, then one of the two animals would go in the front and the other would go in the back. And basically they're being pulled in two directions. So this phrase of Chamar Gamal is an idiomatic phrase, a metaphor for being stuck in a situation where you're being pulled in two different directions. How does it apply here in the case of an Erev of two consecutive days of Kiddush Sayom, according to Rabbi Yehuda? And the answer is, Rabbi Yehuda is Mesupak. He doesn't know if the 2 days are Kiddush Achas, or if they're Shtei Kiddushos. If they're Shtei Kiddushos, then he could decide, for example, that on the second day, which is Shabbos, he wants to be Kodesh Visa in the city with the rest of the Bnei HaCity, Bnei Iro. Because if it's Shtei Kiddushos, then when he was Konish Visa on the first day, that's not relevant to the second day. So he'd be allowed, technically speaking, to go 2,000 Am in every direction around the borders of the city, the outer boundaries of the city. However, we have to worry, according to Rabbi Yehuda, about the possibility of Kiddush Achas. And if it's Kiddush Achas, it means it's like one long day, then wherever he was Shoves on the first of those 2 days, that's where he was Konish Visa also for the second day. So what's going to happen is that if you hold Chamar Gamal, you're going to have to find that area, that distance, which is common, which is an overlap to both Kiddush Achas and Shtei Kiddushos. So for example, if let's say he sets up his Erev on the first day on the eastern side, so he's allowed to go 2,000 Amah beyond that on the eastern side. On the second day, however, he's going to be limited because on the second day, he has an Erev that he wants to set up to be Konish Visa in the city. So he's going to have like a 1,000 Amah overlap between the two. And that's called Chamar Gamal, which means that we're Mesupak, whether or not the 2 days are considered Kiddush Achas or they're considered shtei kedushas. So let me read it to you again, because I think we were still doing okay on the clock. Im shtei kedushos heim, on the tzad to say that they're two kedushos, which was in fact the sheet of Rebbe in the beginning on the ratio of this brisa, then makom shvisaso biyom hasheni hu be'iro. If you're setting up two different kedushos, and on the second day, which is Shabbos, he wants to be kibnei iro, is the eruv that he was kodesh shvisa for the first day is not going to be valid for the second day, because we're holding now on that side of the suffix of shtei kedushos is lo kanalo shvisa liyom hasheni. Now, if he wasn't kodesh shvisa liyom hasheni on the side of shtei kedushos, then he would be allowed to walk alpayim amah, 2,000 amah, on every direction outside of the city. However, he would not be allowed, based on the Erev of Friday, to walk 2,000 amah beyond the Erev, which would be 4,000 amah from the city. He's limited to 2,000 amah. And now, let's say Kedusha Achasein, and it's like one day. So then, he can b'makom sheshavas biyom arishon sham shvisaso gam l'sheni. So he'd be allowed to now walk based on kedusha achas 2,000 amah beyond the erev tchumin. Let's call it in the east, but he can't do so because we have a tzad to say that he's kibnei iro and shtei kedushos, and the erev that he set up on Friday is not valid for Shabbos. So l'maisa, the only amount of distance that we're going to allow him to walk on Shabbos is only the 2,000 amah to the east of the city, which is common to the first Eruv, but he can't walk to the west of the city, because if we have to be choshes for Kedusha Achas, then he was kona shvisa to the east of the city, because the Eruv that he set up on Friday is valid even for Shabbos. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rav Yishmael, Benoshel, Rav Yochanan Rocha, Omrim. Again, if we had the big whiteboard, we'd put up their names on the board. Erev Baraglov Barishon, Ein Ma'arev Baraglov B'Sheni. It means Kedusha Achas. So that if he set up an Erev on the first day, he doesn't need an Erev for the second day. This is the exact opposite of Rebbe. Rebbe in the Reisha of this Brisa established day Kedushas, and he needs two different independent Erevin for the 2 days. Rabbi Shmuel are now holding that it's Kedusha Achas, and therefore you only need one Erev. And therefore, Nechala Erev Biyom Rishon Yotzilo B'Sheni, if the Erev that he set up on the first day was eaten sometime during Yontiv, he still has the same Alpayim Amo on the second day that he had on the first day, because one Erev suffices for both. In the middle between these two extremes, we have the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, which is called Chamar Gamal, which is the Suffolk. Do we assume Shtei Kedushas? We don't know. Do we assume Kedusha Achas? And we go Luchum in both directions. So he's limited to the direction where he set up his Erev on the first day. But on the other hand, he needs a separate Erev for the second day. Okay, how do we paskin? Omar Rav, halacha karbaz kenim alalu. We're going to paskin like four kenim. I want to pay for that. Who are the four kenim? We're going to get a list of the four kenim, and they all agree. Aliba de Rabbi Eliezer. They all hold like Rabbi Eliezer, which means the Omar Shtei Kedushos. V'elu hein arbaz kenim. Number one, we have Rav Shimon Gamliel, and number two, Rav Yishmael Berebi Yochanan ben Broka, because those two, now that makes no sense, right? Because we just said that according to those two Tanoim, which are mentioned at the end of this Braisa, we have Kedusha Achas, and therefore he doesn't need a separate Erev on the second day. So this statement that these two Tanoim, Rav Shimon and Rav Shmuel, hold like Rabbi Eliezer, is impossible, as the Gemara is going to clarify, because Rabbi Eliezer holds shtei kedushos, and they hold kedusha achas. Next, for Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon, for Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, sti mita'a. Sti mita'a means that whenever you have a stam mishnah like Rabbi Yosef, we pass it like Rabbi Yosef. So they added an acronym to his name. In any event, we really have no clue who's Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, and who's Rabbi Yosef Bar Yehuda Simtai with regard to this halacha. That's what the Gemara is going to have to clarify. Ika di Amri, there's another version, Chad Minayu, Rabbi Elazar, that one of the four Tanoim that Rav has in mind is Rabbi Elazar, and therefore, Mapik, you can take away from the four, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Stima. He was not on the list. So first of all, the Gemara is going to ask our kasha. V'ha Rabbi Shimon, Gamliel, Rabbi Shmuel, B'noshu, Yochim, Rochim, Ibcha, Shamin, and Lehu. In our Braisa, they were quoted as saying, Kiddush Achas. And therefore, all you needed was one Erev on Friday, on Thursday afternoon, meaning for Friday, and for Shabbos. That's the exact opposite of Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer holds shtei kedushas, you need two independent erevin. So the answer is April. We're going to have to switch around the names in the Braisa. And Adarab, it's Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel and Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Yochum ben Broko, who say that if you had an erev on the first day, you're going to need an erev on the second day. Erev baragla barishon, ma'arev baragla b'sheni. Or nechal eruva barishon is eni yotzei lo b'sheni. So they both hold shtei kedushos. That's April. Now wait a second. At the very beginning of the braisa, we quoted Rebbe. Rebbe was the one who said shtei kedushos. So the Gemara says Yochi ani Rebbe. Why did the braisa present Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yishmael as a separate shita when they're just reiterating what it said in the name of Rebbe? So the Gemara answers Amor. What we're going to say is in the braisa that when it says Erev Baragla Biom Risha Ma'ari Baragla Biom Sheni, and then it says Divrei Rebbe, we should add the words V'chein Omar Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel and Rabbi Shmuel Ben Oshel Rabbi Rochel Ben Broka, that the Erev of Yom Rishon is not sufficient for Yom Sheni, and you need a separate Erev for Yom Sheni. So it comes out now that the last two Tanoim, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shmuel, really reiterate exactly what we had in the name of Rebbe, and we add the word V'chein, and that word V'chein indicates that in this braisa we really have only two shitos. We have Rebbe, and now we can add to Rebbe, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shmuel, and then we have Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says Chamar Gamal, and if this new girsa is accepted, then Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Yochum ben Rebocha is just a hemsheich. It's just a continuation of Rebbe, and they agree to Rebbe, and we're talking about shtei kedushos. The Gemara asks the following question: Rav has a list of four tanoim lechshov nami Rebbe. Why didn't Rav add Rebbe to the list? Rebbe was the first one on the Braisa who established shtei kedushos. And the Gemara answers: Rebbe Tani Lei Velo Savra Lei. Rav himself was a Talmud of Rebbe, and he knew that Rebbe, although he was presenting the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, namely shtei kedushos, same, but he himself, Rebbe, didn't accept that shita Lo Svira Lei. So the Gemara asked, well, you know what? Let's go from there consistently and apply it to Rabbanan. Rabbanan Nami Tani Lei Velo Svira Lei. Maybe Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel and Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Broka, we just said, agreed to Rebbe and accepted the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer that shtei kedushos, say, maybe they were just telling over what they heard from Rabbi Eliezer, but they never accepted that opinion. So why do you list that as those who agree with Rabbi Eliezer of shtei kedushos? The Gemara answer is Rav Gemara Gemira Lei. Rav had a Kabbalah from his Rebbeim. He knew that Rebbe never accepted Rabbi Eliezer, but he knew that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Baruch Hu did accept Rabbi Eliezer, and that's why he listed them amongst the four. Now the Gemara goes on and analyzes this psak, this final ruling of Rav, accepting Rabbi Eliezer's shtei kedushos, saying, Ki noch nafshei de Rav Huna, when Rav Huna passed away, Ayel Rav Chizda lemirma de Rav adrav. Rav Chizda came into the Beis Medrash and he asked a stira, a contradiction between two statements of Rav. Because Mi Amar Rav, could it be that Rav said Aloch Kirab Boz Kenim? Ve'al Libet Rabbi Eliezer Amar Shtei Kedushos Sein. Ve'itmar Rav Amar Noldo Bazeh Asura Bazeh. If a chicken, if a hen laid an egg on Yontif, let's say it was Friday, it was Yontif, you're not allowed to eat that egg on Shabbos. And Rav Chizda, who was asking the question, he made a mistake. As we'll see, Rav is going to correct this, but his understanding was that the reason for this is because Nolda Bazeh Asura Bazeh. And that's based on a principle called Kedusha Achas. We view the 2 days as one long day. So when Yontif falls on a Friday, then an egg that was hatched on that Friday is Asur on Shabbos because it's one long day of Kedusha. If it would be 2 days of Kedusha, then you would say that Nolda Bazeh Buteres Bazeh. Amar Rabba, Rabba says you're wrong. Rav Chizda, the reason Rav says Nolda Bazeh Asura Bazeh is not because he holds Kedusha Achasen, but for a different reason, Hachana. Remember we touched on Hachana before, now we're going to get into Hachana straight on. Hasam Mishum Hachana, the Leda, the giving birth of the hatching the egg on Friday of Yontif, is a Hachana for Shabbos. You're not allowed to eat on Shabbos anything that was prepared on Yontif. Again, we have something called an Erev Tavshilin, as you know, but that shouldn't be confused with what we're talking about now. Now we're talking about an act of Hachana that was done on Yontif for the sake of Shabbos. This Sanya, what is the source for this Hachana business? And we go into the Parsha Man. So we're in Shmos, Tezayin, and the Pasuk says, Vayav Yom HaShishi VeHeichinu, go out there on Friday. That's the mandate given to Bnei Yisrael, to collect the man, a double portion, one for that Friday and one for Shabbos. And we're going to derive from this Pasuk that Chol Mechin LeShabbos VeChol Mechin LeYontif, that Yom HaShishi here means Yom Chol. And on Yom Chol, you go out and you prepare for a Shabbos or a Yontif that's endowed with Kedusha. So all the Tzrachim, all the needs for Shabbos and Yontif have to be prepared on a Yom Chol. And usually Yom HaShishi is the Yom Chol. So when it says here, Vayom Yom HaShishi, since in most cases Yom HaShishi is Chol, that phrase Yom HaShishi is a replacement for the phrase Chol. V'yein Yontif Mechin L'Shabbos, V'yein Shabbos Mechin L'Yontif. However, you cannot have Hachan on Yontif for Tzorchei Shabbos, not on Shabbos for Tzorchei Yontif, and therefore, you're not allowed to eat on Shabbos that which was prepared on Yontif, or on Yontif that which was prepared on Shabbos. That's the reason why Rav says Beitza Shenolda Bazeh Asura Bazeh. Why is the Beitza Asura on the second day? After all, it was hatched on the first day. The answer is because then that first day was preparing for the second day. And Shabbos requires preparation from Chol and not from Yontif. And Yontif requires preparation from Chol and not from Shabbos. So here you have a case where Yontif prepared for Shabbos. Abai now is going to reject this concept of Hachon of Rabbah. Omale Abaye, what are you, Rabbi, going to do with the Mishnah that we had right here on Daf Lamiches Amid Aleph in Erev? And it says, Ketzeru Osef, a person wants to make an Erev for 2 days, for Shabbos in Yontem, Molicho Berishon Umachshecholov, Vinotlo Bolo B'Sheni Umachshecholov, Vyochlo Bolo. What he's going to do is, he's going to take the Erev from the first day, bring it back to the city, and then bring it out there a second time on Friday in order to set up an Eruv for Shabbos, so now he's setting up an Eruv on Yontif for Shabbos. HaKamechem Yontif l'Shabbos. How could this be permitted by the Mishnah? By setting up an Eruv on Yontif for Shabbos, Yontif is being Mechel l'Shabbos. How could that be Mutter? Amale Rava Misavris Sof Hayom Kona Eruv. Tchilas Hayom Kona Eruv. V'Shabbos Mechino Liatzma. The Kinyan Shvisa begins on Tchilas Hayom. It's a little paradoxical. Tchilas Hayom means, the word Tchilas sounds like it indicates an earlier day. Really, Tchilas Hayom indicates a later time period. In other words, Rabbi says to Abaye, your premise is incorrect. Your premise was Sof Hayom Kona Eruv, meaning the end of Friday, which is called Beit HaShemashos, that's the clincher for the Erev of Shabbos. And that's Yontif, right? Because Friday was Yontif, so that can't be. But you're making a mistake, because Tchilas Hayom Kona Erev, the Kinyan Shvisa is Chal on Shabbos itself. So it's Shabbos Mechini Liatzma. Now the Gemara is going to bring a Mishnah in Mesechta Tful Yom, in the fourth parak of Tful Yom, to ask Akash on Rabbah, and to try to prove that in fact, Sof Hayom Kona Erev, that the clincher, the critical moment of Erev, is actually Ben HaShemosh, it's not Laila. And the case that I think we've discussed this in the past, is where a person has a barrel that's full of wine, and he set up a hafrasha of 1/10 for the Levi. That's Maiser Levi, Maiser Rishon. However, what's necessary now is hafrasha of Trumas Maser, that from the Maser that was designated to the Levi, another Maser has to be designated to the Kohen. Now he fills up this barrel, which is called Lagin, right? Lagin is a very large kind of cup. It's not as big as a barrel, but it's larger than your average size cup. Anyway, that's called Lagin. And the kli that he used, right, which is called Lagin, I mean, Lagin is a generic term, but this particular Lagin that he used was a Tful Yom. In other words, it had contracted Tumah. You already took it to the mikvah, but we haven't yet gotten to Harev Shemesh, to Shkia Sacham. And the law is that at that point in time, until Harev Shemesh, even though it's been dunked into the mikveh, nevertheless, it is metame truma b'maga. And Trumas Maser is also truma, of course. It's not metame Maser Rishon, because Maser Rishon is chulin, but it would be metame Trumas Maser. So now, he wants to be mafresh from this yayin inside the login, Trumas Maser, on whatever yayin was left in the chavis, which was Maser Rishon. And the Mishnah says he makes the following declaration. He says that the yayin in the logim should be Trumas Maser li'achar chashecha, after darkness. So that after it gets dark, it's already Erev Shemesh, and at that point there could be a chalos Trumas Maser on this yayin. Why? Because the logim already is tar legame, which gives achama. And it's not going to be metame, the wine that's within it. Now, if this happens on Erev Shabbos, and let's say he wants to use that wine in the lugin as an Erev Tchumen, he cannot do so. Why? Because now, when the Erev is supposed to be Chal, which is before the day ends, Mibod Yom, and then again we're applying the principle of Sof Hayom Kona Eruv. So then, the yayin is now Osu B'Shtia. There's no way that the Trumas Maser could be Chal, so it has the status of Tevel, because we have to wait until nightfall. So you cannot say that at Bein HaShemoshos, at that moment, it could serve as an Eruv. El Me'atos, the Gemara says, but you, Rava, you maintain that Tchilas Hayom Kona Eruv, that the Eruv is only clinched at the beginning of Shabbos. Is Ya'arvu b'login? Why did the Mishnah say you cannot set up this Eruv? With login, it should be absolutely permissible, because the Yayin already becomes Mutav Shtiyah L'Kohen, with Shkias Achama during that Bein HaShemashes period, and the Erev will only take effect at the beginning of Shabbos, which means after Bein HaShemashes has completed. And the Gemara answers, the Be'inan Suda Ruya Mibod Yom Velek, it's true that Tchilas Hayom Kona Erev according to Rava. And based on Tchilas Hayom Kona Erev, we were able to set up an Erev on Yontif on Friday for Shabbos. And it wasn't considered a Hachana of Yontif for Shabbos, but nevertheless, you have to prepare the Suda during this Bein HaShemashes period and set up your Erev as a Suda Ruya. And right now it's not a Suda Ruya because we have to wait till Harif Shemesh in order for the Trumas Maser to be Chal, to be Matir the rest of the Yayin for Shtia. So therefore the Yayin in the Lugim is not considered Roy B'Erev Shabbos. So again, even though the moment in which the Erev will be Tofes, meaning will be Chal and be valid and we'll set up a het tchumen is after the Bein HaShemashos. But nevertheless, at the moment that he places the Eruv, which is called Bein HaShemashos, then he needs a Suda Ruya. And in this case, it's not a Suda Ruya because it's only after Bein HaShemashos that the Kli, the Logan, becomes Tov. The Gemara now asks Akash on this principle called Suda Ruya. Ella, huh, this is not what you're going to do with our Mishnah before. There, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Yontif Hasamak L'Shabbos, Bein Lufanev, Bein Le'achrev, Ma'arev, Adam Shnei Ruvin. If you have 48 consecutive hours of Yontif, you have to set up two Eruvim. So what happens now? He sets up the Eruv for Yontif, meaning on Thursday afternoon, at a distance of 2,000 Amah towards the Mizrach, and that's going to suffice and be valid for the first day of Yontif. And on that very same day, it would be prohibited for him to walk towards the west because he was going to Shvis on the east. And then he has a second Eruv, which he set up 2,000 Amah on the west. So he's got the first day on the east, the second day on the west, and each one is going to be valid for each day according to Rabbi Eliezer and Amisha. That's called Shtei Kiddushos. So the Gemara asks, Be'inan Suda Ruyel Mibod Yom Veleka. On the first day, he cannot walk towards the west. So then, how could that Erev be valid for the second day when he could not have access to his Erev? So the Gemara answers, Mi savers de manach le besof alpayim amalekan besof alpayim amalekan. That's not the case that the Mishnah is addressing. Look. What's the case? The manachle besof elef amalekan u besof elef amalekan. In other words, we're talking about a person who's interested in going from the city 3,000 ama. So what he does is he goes out of the city, marchikas eruvo shel shnei ayomim, only elef ama l'chol tzad, only 1,000 ama for each side. And therefore he's allowed to go 1,000 Amma until his Eruv, and beyond the Eruv, another 2,000 Amma. So between the two Eruvin, there's no 2,000 Amma distance. And therefore, on the first day, he could walk to the Eruv where he placed it on the second day. But Kitzar Maisa, what happens is that he places the Eruv on the second day in a location which is accessible to him, even on Yontif on the first day, based on the Erev that he set up on the first day. So Abai goes ahead and asks a question about this Hachana business, that Rava says there's an Isra Hachana. Elohad Yom Rav Yehuda, Irev Baraglov Yom Rishon, is Ma'arev Baraglov Yom Sheni, Erev Pasmi Yom Rishon, Ma'arev Pasmi Yom Sheni. What's going on over here? Rav Yehuda says that when you have Shabbos and Yontav as consecutive days, then you go out there and you kona shvisa on the first day, you go back home, and then you walk out to the same place where you want to be kona shvisa for the second day, or a different place, if that is not. And the same thing applies with the pas. V'akamechin, says Abaye, mi yontif l'shabbos. Why? Because on yontif itself, he's going out there to be konesh shvis. He makes a declaration, shvisasi b'makom zeh. I want to be konesh shvis in this place. Well, that's a nice achana for tomorrow, and it's still yontif. Amalei, so Rabbi says, misavis the azel v'yomer midi. You think that he has to walk out there and he has to make a declaration. Shvisasi v'makom zeh. Nay, that's not true. The azel v'shasik v'yosiv. He could go out there and say nothing and just sit down and be konesh shvisa. And therefore, he's not doing an act of hachana. This is a sheet of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri later on in Masechta Erevin, that if a person falls asleep on his way home on Erev Shabbos and he wasn't consciously being Kona Shvisa, nevertheless he's Kona Shvisa b'mkoma, even without his conscious awareness, even though he fell asleep. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri compares this to a case of Cheftzei Hefker, that Cheftzei Hefker are Kona Shvisa, wherever they are, they're ownerless, even though nobody had Kavana to be Kona Shvisa. So you see very clearly that you could set up an Erev Baraglov without making any declaration whatsoever. The man just fell asleep and he was Kona Shvisa. Again, the Chacham never accepted Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. They hold that a Yoshein, somebody who falls asleep, is not Kona Shvisa. But nevertheless, they don't require a declaration, Shvisasi b'mkomi. The Gemara says, Afilu teima rabbanon, ad kan lo pligi rabbanon le Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri el b'yoshen. When do the rabbanon reject this kind of silent kinyan shvisa in a case when someone's sleeping? To lo matzi omer, he doesn't even have the possibilities, he doesn't have his head on his shoulders. And he cannot even subconsciously say, I was going to shvisa, he fell asleep. Avol b'neyar, if he's awake, if he wanted to make a declaration, he certainly could have. Even if he didn't say anything, it's considered as he made this declaration. Bottom line is, you don't have to make a declaration, and therefore you could be Kona Shvisa without that declaration, and it's not a Hachana. Again, you and I might ask the following question, well, isn't the walking itself a Hachana? So let's assume that walking per se is not a Hachana, because you're allowed to walk on Shabbos or on Yontif in either direction, and there was never a separate Isser. But to make a declaration, I hereby am being Kona Shvisa, that would be an act of Hachan on Yontif for Shabbos, which is also. Amalei Rabba Bar Rav Chanin Labaye, Iavishmi Alei Lamar Hadesanya. If Rabba was only aware of the following Braisa, that says, Lo Yahalich Adam Lisof Sadeu Leda Ma Hi Tzricha. Kayotze Bo. Let's say, for example, it's Shabbos, and he wants to walk through his fields on Shabbos. He wants to see what will he have to improve upon after Shabbos. No, that's permitted. That's prohibited. Why? Because the Torah says, Cheftzecha V'davar Davar, that you can only do on Shabbos that which is necessary for Shabbos. And the Braisa continues here on top of Lamed Tesam and Aleph. And it says, Lo Yitayel Adam al Pesach Medina Kidei Sheikonis L'Merchatz. A person on Shabbos and Yontif should not walk to a place where there's a Merchatz, so that immediately after Shabbos he can jump into the Merchatz. Miyad, meaning immediately after Avdolah he's going to go in there. Because again, all these things are Melachos that he's not allowed to do on Shabbos. He's not allowed to go into the bath on Shabbos, because the bathtub was heated up on Shabbos. And therefore he can't do on Shabbos anything that sets himself up for the malacha after Shabbos. And the Gemara says, Havi Hadabe, if only Rabba would have known about this brisa, he would have removed his position. He would have revoked his position, because you see from this brisa that halicha, even walking, for the purpose of chol, is prohibited. So if he's walking on Yontif in a case of 48 hours of consecutive Kiddush Sayyom for the purpose of setting up an Erev for Shabbos, then he's doing a Hachana on Yontif for Shabbos, even Halicha. Gemara says, Veloi, that's not true. Shmile, Rabbo was well aware of this brisa. V'lo hadar, but nevertheless, he would not have rescinded it. Hacham muchacha milsa, hachalav muchacha milsa. In the case where he's walking towards his fields or his Beis HaMerchatz, everybody sees that he's doing this effort for the sake of Motzi Shabbos, and he's violating what it says in the Pasuk in Yeshaya. Im tashiv mishabas raglecha v'chibadito la'asos rachecha v'imtzoch heftzecha, which means that you have to be mechabed the Shabbos, and you have to avoid doing any esaskas on Shabbos of melachos that would be prohibited on Shabbos, even though you're not doing the melacha per se. It's nikar, it's obvious to everybody that you're doing it for the purpose of the melacha. But here, a man is walking to Sofat Chum, and he wants to set up an Eruv Baraglov. Nobody knows why he's walking there. Nobody could prove it. He may be walking there for any number of reasons. He's going for a spatzir. Is e tzurmi rabbanu amrinan shmaitum meshachte. If he's a Talmud Chacham, then we say the reason why he's walking out in that direction is because he's farnumit. He's shakua b'machshavto, we say in Hebrew. He's orangutan. And therefore, he's just walking. He doesn't pay attention. They say about my Rebbe, he once walked into a pole and he said, excuse me, I don't know. V'yamaretzu, so why is the Amaretz walking all the way out there? As the answer is, chamara irkasle. We're going to say that he lost his chamor and he's going out there to look for his chamor. But anyway, the bottom line is it's not nika. We don't know. It's not clear. It's not obvious from his halicha that his halicha is for the purpose of Shabbos. Maybe his halicha is relevant to Yontif itself. Therefore, if it's not nikar, there's no Isra Chana from Yontif to Shabbos. And this leads us up to Gufa, which is 6 lines down from the top of Daf Lamites Amid Aleph. And Amir Tzashem, that's where we'll pick it up tomorrow.